Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Black Lives Matter. At the time of recording this, we're in the second week of the protests sparked by the murder of George Floyd. Bookstores exist to connect readers with the thoughts and lives of others, and now more than ever, that mission is critical. The killing of George Floyd should provoke anger and soul searching. It should provoke a thirst for greater empathy and for action. Today, we are going to center Black voices and Black stories as we recommend books by and about Black folks. We have lists up on our website that we are continuously adding to, and we will link those in the show notes along with other resources that we encourage you to check out. If you have recommendations, please let us know. We will add them. We are learning. We're going to highlight just a few of those books today. I'm going to start. I read a lot of, I read primarily fiction. I read a lot of young adults, and I also have a toddler. So I'm also going to be talking about a couple of picture books. First things first, I'm going to talk about a book that I believe everyone should read, Teenagers End Up. It's The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. It came out a couple of years ago, and it is a book that I find really makes you confront your white privilege as you are reading this story of a Black girl in high school and what she is experiencing and what her friends are experiencing in the aftermath of a Black teenager, a Black child being killed. It's a fantastic book. It's a hard read. It should be a hard read. And it's incredible. And I think everyone should read it. Another young adult book that I'm reading right now that I would call it a younger young adult. It definitely bridges the gap between middle grade and young adult. It is accessible for young readers, and it is a very sweet story, but one that does not shy away from racism and white privilege. It is called The Only Black Girls in Town. It's by Brandy Colbert. It just came out, and at its core, it's a story of friendship. A 13-year-old, or 12 and a half, she's very specific, 12 and a half-year-old Black girl is the only Black girl in her neighborhood until a new Black family moves in across the street. And they become friends, and in becoming friends, two things happen. Two plot lines happen. In the one plot line, the two girls discover a box of journals in the attic of the bed and breakfast where the new family has just moved in. And they start reading these journals and uncovering this sort of mystery that surrounds a young woman named Constance in the 1950s and the racism and prejudice that she witnesses and experiences. And they kind of embark on a research project to find out who this person was and more about her life. And the other plot line that begins to show itself is one of racism and white privilege that the main character had not fully recognized initially. Before her new friend moved in, she starts to recognize some white privilege and racism in her best friend, her childhood best friend. She realizes that her friend says things that make her uncomfortable. And her friend hangs out with people who say things that make her uncomfortable. And she begins to confront these things. And it's a really, at times, cringy book to read when you are reading the things that the white people are saying to this Black girl. it's, you know, the teacher asking the two black girls in class if they're cousins just because they're both black. No, they're not cousins. They met yesterday. you know, it's things like the best friend saying, well, I don't think of you as black. You're just you. You're just who you are. I don't think of you that way. That's not great. That's harmful language. That's not how you should speak to your black friends. But again, it is written for a young adult, right? The main character is 12 and a half. This is a really great book for kids who are younger and good readers, and any teenager. And quite frankly, I'm enjoying it as an adult as well, because it is that twofold. It is a sweet story of friendship and also recognizing that racism is everywhere, and the experiences of these characters. And then two adult books, The City We Became by N.K. Jemisin and Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. These books are very, very different, but both very powerful. The City We Became, we've talked about, it's an urban fantasy. It, you know, it's a fun book, right? It's demigods, right? It's cities becoming avatars. It's very cool. But there is a huge plot line of race and racism. And it is, she does not sugarcoat anything, nor should she. It is really, really well written. And it really, again, makes you kind of confront these things. It opens your eyes to the everyday racism that Black folks experience. And with Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed, that is very powerful. It is a book that opens with a Black woman who she's like a nanny, I think. I can't remember if she's a babysitter or a nanny, but she's taking care of a child, and they're at the grocery store, and they're confronted by the grocery store security cop, and it escalates and escalates, and that's where it opens. And it does not let up from there. You discover the racism and white privilege of the family of the child that she watches. You see it in the person she is dating, in the friends she surrounds herself with. Her eyes are continuously opened as well as the reader's eyes. It is a very tense book. It is a very well-written book. I loved it a lot. I think that is another one that everyone should read. And then a couple of picture books that I personally own and read with my toddler, that are just, they're not specifically about race or racism. They are just picture books that have main characters who happen to be people of color. One of them is called Saturday by Oge Mora. She's a phenomenal author and illustrator. Saturday is a very sweet story of a mother and daughter who have all of these plans on their Saturday. And Saturday is their favorite day together. It's the day they get to do all of these fun things. They have all of these plans, and every single one of their plans gets thwarted for some reason or another, right? They are supposed to go to a show, they lose their tickets. They are supposed to go to this place, it's closed. They're supposed to go to that place, they miss the bus. But at the end of the day, they have spent the whole day together and they've had a really great day together. So it's a very sweet mother-daughter story. And the characters are Black, and Oge Mora is a Black author and illustrator. And she has other books as well. And then the other book, again, is not about race, but is about a character who just happens to be Black. And it's Ada Twist Scientist, which a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, know, by Andrea Beattie. And it's about a little girl named Ada Twist who is very, very smart. She doesn't speak for the first few years of her life. And then once she does start talking, she never stops asking questions and doing experiments. It is a very sweet story that kind of takes the idea of little kids asking all these questions and kind of points them in this, like, yeah, you could be a scientist. You can ask these questions. You could be a scientist. It is very sweet. And I like, you know, my daughter's picture books to have representation in them. But yeah, those are just a few that I wanted to highlight. Those are some of my recent favorites. Who wants to go next?
The books that I have notes about for today are going to be, there's a little bit of fiction thrown in here, but you know me, I'm a nonfiction person. So I thought that some of the books that are most helpful to me are the ones that take us back to the original sin of the founding of this country, which is slavery. And how many years did we spend not acknowledging that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington owned slaves, and the really bad behavior of our founding fathers. And I think it's worth it for every American to really begin to explore the history of this country, because we would not be where we are today were it not for the enslavement of African peoples in this country. It's the original sin. So I think some of the best books about slavery come from the point of view of people who had been enslaved. I would highly recommend reading The Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave, which was published by Frederick Douglass in 1845. He escaped slavery. This book is a shocker. It's not long, but I think it's mandatory reading for everybody in this country. The other I would recommend is 12 Years a Slave by Solomon Northrup, who was a free man who was tricked into going to Washington, D.C. and captured and kidnapped back into slavery and held as an enslaved person for 12 years until he managed to escape. It is another really shocking story. So those are two original accounts. For fiction, though, I would highly recommend reading Beloved by Toni Morrison, which is the first book I ever read that made me think I could perhaps understand what it was like to be an enslaved person who managed to escape slavery and then to be hunted down by a man who wanted to re-enslave this woman and her child. It is absolutely scorching. I think it's probably one of the greatest American novels ever written. I highly recommend it. The other is Kindred by Octavia Butler, which is a classic of science fiction. But that is also a story, it's a time travel story, and it's about a contemporary American woman in 1976 who is Black. Her husband is white. And they find themselves propelled back into 1815 and forward enslavement. They keep coming back and forth between that period of time and the 70s. But it is also another just absolutely revelatory, scorching book, which is... Octavia Butler was really wonderful at examining issues of race through the lens of science fiction. So if you're at all a sci-fi person, definitely, definitely read that. And then I think there are some books about that are 50 years old, but written in my lifetime about the experience of being a Black person in America that everybody really should read. One is The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin, which was published in 1963. He wrote this book for his nephew, the son of his James Baldwin's younger brother, who had died. And James Baldwin always felt that his younger brother kind of died of a broken heart because of how he was treated as a Black man in America. The other is the autobiography of Malcolm X, which was actually co-written by Alex Haley, who was famous for the book Roots, that was written about 10 years later. Malcolm X, you may know, was an activist at the same time that Martin Luther King was an activist, but he scared people even more than Malcolm X scared people, and he wound up being assassinated in 1965. But this is also a fantastic a read and just heart-wrenching. And then two books that are more contemporary, Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates, which is basically a letter to Ta-Nehisi Coates' son about, hey, I gotta warn you, this is what it means to be a Black man in America, a Black person in America. The other is Citizen by Claudia Rankine, which is a poetry book, which is about the experience of being a Black woman in America, which is also just heartbreaking. We read it in our book club, and I think we had the very best discussion we have ever, ever had from reading Citizen. I think there are some really good books out there that if you are white and you see this moment and you are ready to participate, to make the world a better place, to be a better human being yourself, then you should read White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, Robin DiAngelo is a woman who goes around the country trying to help white people stop talking and listen. And it's the subtitle of it is Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. And there's a wonderful new book out, well, it's not new, it's about a year old now, called How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. And Ibram X. Kendi is a Black man he's a historian, and I'll talk about his other book in just one second, but it's a wonderful book. It's not long. It's an easy read. A longer book by Ibram X. Kendi, which won the National Book Award in 2016, is called Stamped from the Beginning. And this is another book that if you want to understand the original sin of America, the subtitle of this is The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. This is very important reading. I very much encourage everybody, if you want to understand why our country is the way it is, get this book. It's a tome. It's a lot longer read, but it is very, very important reading. So that's my list.
Awesome. Kelso?
For what I've picked, as a queer woman, I had to come to terms that being queer doesn't absolve me of racism, which I believe we all have. So what I started doing was reading more queer Black authors. So one of the books that I had read was Real Life by Brandon Taylor. It's so good.
It's supposed to be terrific. I have that on my list.
Yeah. I watched him do an author interview with another queer author that I really like a couple weeks ago, and I finally started reading it. It is a book that centers on Wallace, who is a queer Black man, and he is in a college university working towards a biochem degree in a Midwestern state. Wallace has some past childhood trauma, and the book predominantly centers on him and trying to get through relationships, professional and personal, through a white college community. This is an exploration of how folks can live together but still remain invisible. It is a tender and complex novel, and it is a very good and very important read. Brandon Taylor is a queer Black man himself, and this is his first book. And it is an amazing book. It's so incredibly well written.
There's an article that he wrote, I believe it was published in BuzzFeed, that's called something like Why I Left Science. And it's he was studying, you know, to get a PhD, I think, in some kind of science field. And it's a really concise article about the racism he encountered as someone trying to be a scientist who also happens to be Black. It sounds like this book is very autobiographical.
It is a very eye-opening book, and I highly recommend it. And now I'm going to have to go read that article. The second book is called Here For It, which is a book of essays by R. Eric Thomas. R. Eric Thomas is a writer for Elle magazine. He is so ridiculously funny. It is a memoir and essays about growing up in the margins, whether in his rich, mostly white suburban high school, his conservative Black church, or his Ivy League college in a big city. He writes about struggling to reconcile his Christian identity with his sexuality. R. Eric Thomas is a gay Black man, and he also is identifies himself as a Christian. And it is also about the exhaustion of code switching in college and accidentally getting famous on the internet for the wrong reason. It is such a good, it is so funny. And it's really, R. Eric Thomas does a really good job with balancing like very funny, a very funny essay about, you know, what happened when he got famous on the internet, but also he definitely writes about very tender and serious things. He talked about covering the 2016 election, which he did for, I can't remember which media outlet, but he did that, and it was really eye-opening. Perfect for people who love Samantha Irby. I want to give a quick shout out about Samantha Irby. She wrote her latest book of essays, she wrote called Wow, No Thank You. It is so funny. She talks about her IBS. Talks about her getting married to her wife and then moving to a suburb and having to take care of this house. And like, I just want to be best friends with Samantha Irby. She's so great. So queer Black authors, I'm here for them. Another thing that I started to do, which I wanted to fill a void that I've had, is growing up in high school and growing up in any white town in New Hampshire, we learned a basic history course, U.S. history, and it's racist. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I believe that the way that U.S. history is taught in schools, or at least in my school, was a very basic, pretty sugar-coated and racist education. Mm-hmm. And it is imperative at this juncture in our lives that we should learn about Black history, because Black history is also our history of the U.S. as well. There are lots of things that I didn't know, and one of those things was the Black Panthers.
Right.
I was listening to a podcast and they brought up the Black Panther Party, and it was pretty eye-opening. And from when I grew up, Black Panther Party wasn't talked about in U.S. history. And from the little knowledge that I got about the Black Panthers was negative. They were like terrible and just not very, they're riotous and they're angry. And so after listening to that podcast, I wanted to do a little bit more reading about it. So one of the books I started reading was Revolutionary Suicide by Huey P. Newton.
Oh.
Basically the autobiography of Huey P. Newton, who is one of the founders of the Black Panthers. And the book talks about the rise and the fall of the Black Panther Party in the United States. one of the things that it's so eye-opening what the Black Panther Party did. They were such a force of good during the times they were active. One of the things that they did was they gave free breakfast to underprivileged kids in urban neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. They would go around the cities, down the blocks, ask people if their kids need breakfast in the morning, and they every day would cook breakfast for the kids. The kids would come over, or they would drop off food to the you know, places where the kids were living, and kids got free breakfast, anybody who needed it. Another thing they did was they started opening up free clinics, health clinics, to people in town, and tried to make sure that the people who were underprivileged and disenfranchised could get medical care. It's every time, you know, reading this book, I go, wow, there's just so much good that the Black Panthers did that you never heard of. And it's eye-opening. It's so interesting. And I'm super grateful about this insight that I'm now gaining.
Yeah. And if you can, if there are other books out there historically about the Black Panther movement, it's really worth reading, because the suppression of that movement and the out and out murder of its leaders is, you know, a direct parallel to a lot of the stuff that has happened recently. And also I would encourage you to look for a biography or any of the works of Angela Davis, who is a Black woman who's now, I'm pretty sure she's like a professor at Stanford or something, but she was a part of that movement, and she was an amazing feminist, good writer. And she, the federal government did everything they could in their power to send her to jail forever, just because she was a woman who was just speaking truth to power. At a time when white people were just terrified and didn't want to hear it. So, oh yeah, it's definitely, people think of Black Panthers as like, you know, this really scary, evil group of people, and it was not at all what they were.
Mm-hmm. And the last book that I wanted to bring up real quick is a YA book that just came out. It's called A Song of Wraiths in Ruin by Roseanne A. Brown. And I got this as an ARC, and I started reading it because it sounded really interesting. It's a, it is based off of West African folklore. It focuses on this two main characters. One main character is called Malik. He is trying to escape his war-stricken home and start a new life with his sisters. But when a vengeful spirit abducts his younger sister, Nadia, as payment to enter this prosperous desert city, Malik strikes a fatal deal, which is to kill Karina, who is the crown princess of this desert city, in exchange for his younger sister's freedom. Meanwhile, the princess also decides to try to resurrect her assassinated queen mother, by requiring the beating heart of a king, and she knows just how to obtain one by offering her hand in marriage to the victor of the festival competition in her city.
Wow.
It is one of these star-crossed, doomed lover fantasies. It's great for people who really like the City of Gold.
Oh, the S.A. Chakraborty.
The brass, copper, and that gold is coming out.
Right. Yes. It's such a great story, and I can't wait for the second one to come out. And it just actually, it's number 10 on the YA New York Times bestseller list this week.
Fantastic.
And Roseanne A. Brown is very, I follow her on Instagram. She's fabulous, but she is just like so taken aback by all of the positive support that she's been getting for her first book. She's wicked.
That's nice.
I love that. I wanted to talk a little bit. We talk about Libro FM a lot on this podcast, as our listeners know. And I just wanted to point out something that I don't know that everyone knows. So Libro FM is, of course, the indie bookstore response to Audible, right? It is audiobooks that support indie bookstores. What I don't know that people know is that you can change which indie bookstore you are choosing to support with each purchase. It's very simple to go into your account and change the affiliated bookstore. So we're going to put a list in the show notes of Black-owned independent bookstores. And I would encourage anyone who is looking to purchase some audiobooks right now to go into your Libro FM account and select a Black-owned bookstore and support them with your purchase for a little while or forever. And of course, in the list as well, you can go directly to those bookstores' websites, support them that way. You can support them. Some of them will be on bookshop.org, which is another way to support indie bookstores. So check the show notes for that and look into ways to support them. And I'm also going to be including a list of podcasts hosted by Black folks, including two bookish podcasts that I've just discovered. One is called the Stacks Podcast, and the other is called is the Black Chick Lit Podcast. So those are both hosted by Black women. And again, if our listeners have recommendations, I would love more Black-led podcast recommendations.
Can I recommend one?
Yes, please.
We went to see Layla Saad when we were at Winter Institute, who was talking about podcasting.
Yes.
And she has this great podcast called How to Be a Good Ancestor. And she has a book that I meant to mention. And I'm trying to find the actual title of it. We'll put it up. It is a fantastic book. It was based on, it came out of her podcast, How to Be a Good Ancestor, and it's sort of like a 28-day program to get yourself for stop being a racist and how to wind up being a good ancestor yourself. And it's actually on the bestseller list right now. We're having trouble getting it, but we will put it on the show notes. Go check out How to Be a Good Ancestor. Layla Saad is fantastic.
Yes. Love her. All right. So you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. And do feel free to send us recommendations for books, authors, podcasts, bookstores, what have you. We check that email often, so use it. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we are also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books and resources we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.
Bye.